Thanks for listening. My name is Robert Green. I'm the pastor at Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, and this program is called Benefit from the Bible. Do you have a church home where God is working through His Word and through His Supper to build you up in Jesus Christ? Come and be a faithful member of Bethlehem Lutheran Church, 7500 State Road in Parma. Go to our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com, to find out more.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our ever-present help in trouble, ever turn our focus from our trouble to You, knowing that You are aware of our need and will rescue us according to Your perfect timing. We pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Dear friends in Jesus Christ, sometimes life can feel out of control. It can feel as if God is not present with us, or it might even feel like God does not even exist. Whenever that happens, let's keep in mind that our feelings can deceive us. Even though feelings are powerful, God wants us to know that His Word is much more powerful. So anytime we have a conflict between a feeling that we have and what the Word of God says, let us always go with God's powerful Word. May that cancel out the other feelings that we have that do not agree with God's Word. An important way to go through life. Today we find ourselves in Mark chapter 4, and just thinking about the chapter in general, it seems as we look from the beginning of the chapter to the end, we seem to have that chapter all taking place on one particular day, and it's also a chapter that included many parables until finally we get to the end and focus on a great storm, which is becoming our focus then for today. So the key question is, what did Jesus do with a life-threatening storm? As we go through the text, I invite you to think about your own lives and the storms of our lives. And sometimes storms can be relational, financial, physical, emotional, spiritual, etc. People have all kinds of storms, all kinds of difficulties in life. So as Jesus deals with the literal storm on the sea, let's be aware that He can always help us with the other storms we have in our lives. And we should really make going to Him for help a first resort rather than a last resort. How often do we try to fix something on our own, and we try and we try and we try, and finally we're like, I give up, and then we go to God. May we go to God first rather than last. That would be a good way for us to proceed. Let's go on now to the setting of today's reading. We find ourselves in Mark chapter 4, picking up in verse 35. On that day, that would be the day on which He told all these parables, when evening had come, Jesus said to His disciples, "Let's go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took Him, that would be Jesus, with them, that would be the disciples, in the boat, just as He was, and other boats were with Him. Let's dig into that a little bit more before we go on. So what's this idea of going to the other side? So we're talking about the Sea of Galilee, and at the time, they were on the western side of the sea, and that was an area that was populated primarily by Jewish people. Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." That would be the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, and that was the country of the Gerasenes at that time, and that was an area populated a lot by Gentiles. So it would be a different group of people. You can see in chapter 5 that that's where they get off the boat. They're in the country of the Gerasenes, and that's where the man is demon-possessed with what is called legion. In other words, with many, many demons. Thinking about that area, if we look on a map today, if you look at Israel, you look up to the top, over to the right, to the east of the Sea of Galilee, that's where we have the border of Jordan and Syria, Jordan being to the south, Syria being to the north, and it was right about that border, that's where Jesus found himself when they got over to the eastern side. It also said in the text that they took him just as he was. What's that all about? Well, if you look earlier in Mark chapter 4, Jesus was preaching and teaching from the boat. So he simply stayed in the boat and they went to the other side. That seems what it means when it says, just as he was. Also, let's think about the term pulpit for just a moment. So what is the pulpit? A pulpit is a railing at the front of the boat. And oftentimes you can think about a boat kind of with a plank extending out beyond the bow of the boat with a railing around it, somewhere they might use today for, oh, let's say somebody might be standing out there maybe to do some harpooning or something like that. You're out there over the water. So when Jesus was preaching from the pulpit. Now, we don't know quite the style boat. He could have been simply in the front of the boat with a little bit of a railing around the front, or he could have been on a platform that extended beyond the front of the boat. Nonetheless, so he was in a pulpit. What am I standing in? We call this the pulpit because we're thinking about Jesus preaching from a pulpit, and even our pulpit extends a little bit beyond the deck of our chancel, just like many pulpits in a boat extend beyond the deck of the boat. So very similar, that was the situation with him, and also similar here with us. Going on to part 2, we see the storm. Picking up in verse 37, the Bible says, "And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he, that is Jesus, was in the stern, asleep on the cushion." So imagine being in that boat. So you're out on the Sea of Galilee, you're in that boat, the wind was great, that resulted in the waves being great, and they were so great that they were higher than the sides of the boat. So the boat had been in the water, and now the water is in the boat. That becomes a problem, doesn't it? And not only was the water in the boat, but the water is getting deeper and deeper and deeper inside the boat. That's cause for great concern. Well, imagine sleeping through such a thing. Think about us for a moment. Forget about the boat idea for a moment. Think about us in a sound sleep, hearing a loud noise and being aroused from our sleep. We could imagine that. Well, imagine being in a boat and the boat is open. You can't like go down below deck or something and get sealed off. The boat is open. You're sleeping in that boat. So then we have great wind. We have great waves. We have water coming into the boat. And yet, I would think that would arouse anybody. But yet here is Jesus. He is still sleeping through all of that. Was he very tired? Is that why he was sleeping? Was he a very sound sleeper so nothing could wake him up? I don't think that's what we have going on here. I think his calm points to his trust in his heavenly Father. Jesus had no concern for his safety. He had no concern for his life. He knew the Father was aware of the storm, and he knew the Father would carry him safely through the storm, so he was not worried, and he continued to sleep. What about the storms in our lives? Can we handle them like Jesus handled the storm in the boat? Here's a real simple thing I want you to think about. Whenever we have a storm in our lives, no matter what it is, like I said earlier, it could be relational, financial, physical, emotional, spiritual, etc., whatever the storm might be, may there be trust going from us to God, and then may there be peace coming from God to us. A wonderful thing. God wants us to trust Him, and God gives us, through that trust, His perfect peace, no matter what the storm might be. Going on to part three, we come to the question. So we're picking up here partway through verse 38. The Bible says, "And they," that would be the disciples, "awoke him," that would be Jesus, "and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" So the storm was so great that the disciples, and think about it, some of them were experienced fishermen, the disciples were very concerned for their own lives. They sensed that they were in the process of perishing or dying. Think about someone who is extremely sick. He's concerned that he's dying. Think about someone who is on a battlefield and he is wounded and he's concerned about dying. That's the situation with these men. The storm was so great that they were concerned, "We are dying and we can't do anything about it." They must have reasoned like this. We have a great problem. The Lord is here with us, yet He isn't taking any action to help us. Think about the question again. "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" So they knew the problem they had. They knew they had the Lord right there with them, but He wasn't doing anything about it. So they thought, maybe He doesn't care about them. That would be a logical conclusion to come to, but would that be a right conclusion? By no means. It would be a wrong conclusion to come to. Have we ever wondered that sometimes ourselves, why God didn't run and rescue us from some particular situation? We probably all have been in something where we're like, "Dear God, this is like such a horrible thing. Come now, come quickly. I know you're aware of it. I know you can help. Why aren't you helping? Why aren't you helping now?" Sometimes we just can't quite understand. Let's understand that such thoughts, we all go through them at times. They are normal. They are natural. Yet God sometimes allows the trouble to linger for a while because He wants us to be patient. He wants us to trust in Him. He wants us to have His peace. And having the peace, now understand, having the peace does not mean the trouble is gone. God is saying to us, there is peace for us available even in the midst of the storm. So the peace is a peace that passes all comprehension. A peace is not connected to circumstances, but our peace is connected to our trust in the Almighty God and our trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's go on to the miracle. Part four here, the miracle, picking up in verse 39. "And He," that would be Jesus, "awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." So to rebuke someone is to sharply scold him. Imagine Jesus, He's scolding the wind. He's scolding the waves. What an odd thing. What we have here is we have the Creator scolding His creation, and the amazing thing is that the creation obeys what He says. And the Bible says that the wind ceased, and on the surface of the sea there was a great calm. Let's make this application here. As the winds and the waves obeyed our Lord Jesus Christ, how much more should we, as ones who are fully forgiven of our sins by His living and dying for us and by our trust in Him, how much more should we obey what He says? So we're not obeying in order to be saved. We recognize the fact that he has saved us, and now we should want to obey. If the wind and the waves obey, we should too. In fact, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So because we have received the love of God, we should now want to respond back by showing love for God and others. And the way we do that toward God is to keep his commandments. The way we do that toward others is to help them according to their needs. And then finally, number 5, what about the response? Going to verse 40, the Bible says, Jesus said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear. Let me stop there for a moment before we finish the text. So we could say that their fear showed their lack of faith. When I think about fear and faith, I think about these words of Isaiah. These words are part of a prayer that he was praying in chapter 26. And Isaiah prayed, praying to the Lord, he prayed, "The steadfast of mind, you, Lord, will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in thee," or in you. So the one who is trusting perfectly in the Lord has the gift coming back to him of perfect peace. If we are only halfway confident in the Lord that he can help us with our problem, then we kind of halfway have his peace. So can you see the great benefit in having this strong and growing faith here in this life? God wants to bless us so much now as we grow up in Christ, and he wants to bless us forever and ever because we know Christ as Savior. Isaiah continued in his prayer, "Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock." So think about the Lord being this everlasting rock, and then thinking about us having a faith that is in that rock. And because the rock is so strong and so immovable, we can have a faith that does not waver at all. God does not waver, so our faith doesn't have to waver. To have an unwavering faith is going to eliminate fear in our lives, and it's going to give us perfect peace. What wonderful things. But how is it, though, that we grow up in having that kind of trust? I think it's a combination of two things. First of all, it would be learning what is in the Bible, and then it would be putting into practice what is in the Bible. These are things that are steps of faith, but that is how God strengthens faith. Just like we've talked about before, physically, how does a person get strong physically? He eats healthy, and then he exercises. If people do not do that, there's no way to get strong physically. How do we get strong spiritually? We eat the Word of God, and then we put it into practice. Do we want to have perfect peace? Sure. How do we get it? Eat the Word of God, put it into practice. God will grow us up in Jesus Christ. God will give us more of that great blessing of peace. Finally, to finish the text, the disciples responded. The Bible says, they said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" That must have been such an awesome thing. Can you imagine? They're in that boat. The storm is great. They think they're going to die in any second. They wake up Jesus, and he calms the wind and the sea immediately, and it is such a calm. It is unbelievable. And they're like, "Who is this guy?" I mean, they're just completely marveling at the whole situation. What had God done? If it wouldn't have been for the storm, they never would have quite gotten what God wanted them to get. But through this whole process, God opened their eyes more and more to see that Jesus is not merely a good man. He is not merely a great teacher. He is not merely the greatest prophet of all the prophets, but he, in fact, is God of God, light of light, very God of very God. Jesus Christ, he is worthy of all of our trust for everything in this life, and especially for our entrance into heaven. Finally, in conclusion, I would ask you, what is the current storm in your life? You know, give it some thought. Try to identify what it is, and then know this, that no matter what it is, no matter what kind of a storm it is, no matter how great of a storm it is, let us trust in the Lord. Let us have his peace immediately, and then let us patiently wait for him to come and rescue us. And all God's people said, Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a Bible-teaching church, come and join us at 7500 State Road in Parma. See our website for our current schedule. Go to benefitfromthebible.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.